On this episode of The Playbook, I have American fitness model and superpreneur Paige Hathaway. It's amazing how you can turn one fitness competition into being a superpreneur, super successful, her own company, her own brand. Everybody out there is looking to and trying to find how to be an influencer. Paige Hathaway will tell you how.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host and CEO of Sports One Marketing, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneur. I am here with super fitness model and entrepreneur Paige Hathaway. Welcome to the playbook.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
All right. We just had a great time beforehand laughing, so I'm not going to try to make you laugh as much as I did. So I'm going to start off with something tragic like our childhoods.
Yes. Okay.
You know, a lot of people see people that have great success later on in life and think that your life was perfect.
Yes.
And they actually think your life's still perfect just because you look perfect. Not my problem, but yours. Anyway, we could laugh all day. But both of us grew up in a dysfunctional family.
Yeah.
Our parents didn't get along.
Right, no, they still don't.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that is truly a blessing for me. It ended up being a miracle that it set, you're pregnant now with your own baby. And I said it kind of level set my life that you could do whatever you want to me. And it wasn't as bad as what I had to suffer with before, like food stamps and the embarrassment of ego of trying to hide your own personal life from everyone.
Yeah. Wow. Well,
how'd that form for
you? That's interesting that also happened with you as well, because not very many people that I meet have the same type of upbringing. But a lot of people always ask me, like, how do I deal with online bullying or whatever? And I feel like because of my childhood and because of all the stuff that I went through at a young age, I'm like, I could deal with anything now.
Yeah, the, you know? The haters and trolls out
there. Yeah, like it doesn't even affect me anymore. So because of, I feel like I was kind of molded into not letting things affect me now.
It's interesting because I think that's a huge attribute for successful people is not caring what other people think.
Yes.
Or say.
Yes.
And sometimes when we have diminished capacity at a young age, everything kind of just falls off of you is that this isn't really a big deal.
Right.
And I'll show them just like I showed everybody else.
Yeah. And also with trying to reach success, right? Like failure wasn't really traumatizing to me. I was just like, all right, let's try something else, you know, because I did come from that bottom level. So failure is like, okay, well, I'm right back where I was. Let's do it again, you know?
Right. Well, I've been in that rags to riches twice in my life because I lost everything in my 30s.
Oh, wow.
Over $100 million. And
wow.
But it really didn't affect me because I had that same thing. Like, I've been here before, but now I have a lot more to deal with positively than I did before. And it's going to be a lot easier to regain the success that I had.
Right.
I love the fact that you never limited, and maybe I never looked at my own career. I'm very successful because I never limited my point of entry.
Like
I got out of law school, and even though my mom was like doctor, lawyer, or failure, I sold stuff on the internet, literally legal research online, and became a millionaire 9 months out of law school because I wasn't really worried about what other people thought, you know. And trust me, my friends thought I was crazy not to be a real lawyer, let alone my mom.
Right.
You talk me through the different decisions that you made, because I think it's important for entrepreneurs to realize, like, you didn't just set forth to be this supermodel and, you know, super fitness influencer. You actually had all these varying degrees of decisions and what other people would call failures. I call them setups.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
talk
I like
me
that.
Through that setup journey.
Yeah. Well, I first started about 7 years ago. And I, you know, kind of was like a little lost. I mean, again, like I didn't have parents that were like, go to college, be, you know, a doctor or whatever. So I kind of was kind of set out to do whatever it is that I was going to do. And I just kind of looked at my parents and I was like, this is not the life I feel like people are meant to live. You know what I mean? Just super unhappy with their lives, kind of just going through the motions. I'm like,
You're like Marshall Mathers, female Marshall Mathers. Like, we call her Eminem Jr. She could like rap as well, right? It's like your favorite song is.
What if I rapped right now?
Right, that'd be cool. That's awesome. Right. But honestly, like, you're like, this is not how I'm supposed
to live. Yeah. This is not how people are supposed to live, you know?
Why do you think you were different than other kids in the situation? Because, like, I grew up with six kids, a single mom. Now, I had a strong one parent at least.
Oh, yeah.
But like two bedroom apartment and everyone around me, some of them were just satisfied with being there.
Yeah.
But I was like you. I'm like, no way am I going to live this way.
Right. You know, I that's a really good question. I always wondered that myself. I always wondered, like, is it something that's distilled in you at a young age? Is it something that, I don't know.
Because so you didn't see something and like, because some guys come on here that grew up poor and they're like, you know, I watched this TV show, Beverly Hills 92120. And yeah. I was like, that's how I want to live. Or they see the guy with a billboard with a Porsche or, you know, for me, it was a Ferrari.
Yeah, I saw
my first Ferrari and I was like, you know what? This beats the Country Squire station wagon. And if I just can buy that car, everyone's going to love me. They're going to think I'm successful. Women are going to just die for me. Like, literally, that's what the thing that I saw
that drove
me. Was there something that
I
you
think
saw?
It's, I was, honestly, I was kind of embarrassed of my childhood.
Me too.
Like, I grew up in a trailer and I wanted no one to know. So I had my friends, like, drop me off down the street or.
Did you lie to your friends?
Yeah, I just wanted no one to know. So I think that, like, shame kind of like made me want more in life.
Yeah. It's funny because I lied to everyone about my dad. I would tell him that he was like super rich and like I had this great relationship with him. Meanwhile, I wasn't talking to him.
Oh, wow.
And he had left, you know, and like cheated on my mom. And I made up this whole great story about my dad. Yeah.
Of what you wanted, right? Yeah.
It was interesting. So take it back. So you started now and you have this aspiration from wherever it came from. You're going to be successful. And your first venture was what?
Well, I started from like doing bikini shows. And I did a bikini show and I won second at the biggest state show in the U.S.
And how'd you get asked to do that? Or did you just apply? Or
I swear the universe has a weird way of working out. And I had somebody ask me to do it. And I was like, I don't know if that's something that I want to do. But I thought about it. And he kind of like did not let it go. So I was like, okay, fine, I'll do it. And I was like, wow, I'm actually really good at this. And I'm like, how can I make this into a career? And then it kind of just, you know, went from there.
And yet, at times, things changed. What was the biggest challenge kind of evolving, you know? And I people don't do this. Like Gary, you know, my boy right there. People don't realize, like, he's like a wine guy who got involved in the internet. And then, of course, with Instagram.
Yeah.
You got engaged early on a platform that was conducive to what you were doing.
Totally.
How did, because I think it's genius. Like people that get it first,
yeah.
I give all the credit in the world for. Right. And they deserve all the success.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The followers like me, like I don't know how I deserve any success because it's like I already got the model and the mentors, right? I can call Paige and Gary and be like, hey, should I post this? And right? But like you're an innovator. This is, and it's a huge innovation that you're the innovator of. Like what made you decide, man, you know what? I should spend the time, money, and energy in building a brand on Instagram.
This was before Instagram was a thing. This is, couldn't be an influencer, you know, 7-8 years ago. So I started it just purely to share like my love for like fitness and the new lifestyle that I was like, to help people. The new lifestyle that I had just recently found, I guess, through, you know, what I was doing. And I got such a response. I was like, wow, I'm actually touching people's lives that I don't even know. I'm like, this is neat. How can I keep this going? Within like the first 2 years, I grew like 2 million Instagram.
At the very beginning, way back then, what was the most common question that people DM'd you about?
I think now being a more muscular woman, having muscle is more acceptable in society. But when I first started, I got so much hate about like, what are you doing to yourself? You don't look like a female anymore. This is like ugly. You're losing your femininity. Like, I mean, I got the wrath of it because I was like one of the first to do it.
And were other women asking you about that? Like, how do I do this so I don't lose my femininity? Or how do you deal with people that think you're more masculine because you're fit?
I think at first it was kind of like women still weren't warming up to the idea of lifting weights. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they thought like if they lifted weights, they're going to look like Olga or Helga or something.
Or Arnold.
Yeah. Or Arnold. But a female version.
Right.
I got a lot of like just backlash from it for quite some time. But because it was different and because it was new and people hadn't like really seen that before, I think that's why my following grew so rapidly.
And so, you know, at 2 million followers even way back then, were you thinking about monetizing it? Because there wasn't really influencers, right? You just had this big following and you're young. It's not like you had great business experience. Like,
right.
You know, you haven't been through ups and downs. Like, what were your thoughts like about monetizing that first following?
Well, ever since I was younger, I have always kind of been an entrepreneur at heart. When I was like 13, I really wanted to get a job because I wanted to get money. So I started my own pooper scooper company in my neighborhood. So I've always like wanted to like figure out, you know, how to monetize with what I had, you know. So I've kind of just mapped out a way to success for like that within those first 2 years. But there was no like roadmap laid out, right? There wasn't somebody already doing it. So I had to figure out how to do it before everyone else, because no one else was doing that in that space, you know?
And it's a huge space. Though I find there's still a lot to learn, right?
Yes.
It changes fast.
100%.
What advice would you give? You know, we were speaking earlier. I started my career in sports. So I ran one of the, you know, most notable sports agencies. And I used to laugh when kids would come up to me and go, I want to be just like you. I want to be a sports agent. And I would tell them, be more interested than interesting. Learn what a sports agent truly is.
Yeah, right.
Well, now more frequently they say, I want to be an influencer just like you.
Right.
And you laughed at me. I'm like, influencer is not a job.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you can make a lot of money. But what advice would you give to someone that wants to build a brand online? And I think that's the important idea of being an influencer, is building your own brand.
Totally. I think a lot of people think that if you just have a lot of followers, then you're going to be successful and rich, when that's not the case. Because a lot of people that I even know have a lot of followers, but they still don't know how to monetize properly or keep the longevity up. Because what's going to happen if Instagram goes down next year? You know, are you going to have a brand that's sustainable to keep going after that? Is your brand, your name, whatever it is that you've built, can that suffice a, you know,
A shift. Right. Yeah. And it could happen in a day, right? I always say touches of favor happen in a day, and so do touches of change. And one of the things that I'm very cognizant about in my brand, besides having, you know, the brand police always around me because I'm so controlled with my comments. Anyway, is that I really look at the following I have. So, you know, a lot of people have more followers than I do, but not the same kind.
Right, right.
Like mine will rise up for me, right. And they really follow me. They know, they watch, they do that because I don't sell to them. I don't, you know, do all of these other things. I don't put commercials. I really try just to help people.
Yeah, right.
And I figure if I help enough people, my brand will grow and then people will want me to help them.
Definitely.
And so, and it works, and I'm not afraid of change for that reason, because if everything moved to another platform or went somewhere that everyone would. And I see so many, two things, big mistakes. One, people buying followers.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
I don't either.
You know, like literally brands know, everybody knows. If you think you're fooling anyone other than like just yelling out loud on the internet, I'm a fraud. Yeah. I don't know what you're doing.
Right.
And then the second thing is, you know, not controlling their own frequency so that people, like, you have to stand for something.
Yes.
And you really stand for something.
Yeah, like you were saying before, social media influencer isn't like a thing unless you have like a talent or something within that that you're honing in on. And I think that's what a lot of people's mistake is too. They just want a lot of followers, but then what is that their, what is that thing that they have? Is it fitness? Is it whatever it is? That you have to figure that out as well.
And so, you know, you are pregnant right now with your baby,
and
you're in better shape than most women that I meet while you're even pregnant. My wife would hate you right now. But moreover, what advice would you give on today working out? Like, what's the number one thing about, like, how do I stay in shape? You know, most people that are in the fitness world like you have like some really simple things to tell people.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It is really simple. You know, everyone in this room could, you know, say like, what do you need to do? You need to exercise. You need to eat healthy. You need to be consistent. It's actually super simple, but we make it so complicated.
Don't you think it's because of the consistency? I mean, one of the things from growing up the way we do is like we have more soul in the fact that I'll do something every day. Like I used to tell people, true story, when I was in law school, I had $100,000 of student loans, bad economy, I had nobody around me, and my dad's telling me to quit law school and go sell golf clubs in Japan to make money. I prayed to God that if I could pay off my law loans, buy my mom a house and a car, that I would shovel poop
yeah.
for 12 hours a day, 6 days a week with gratitude if I could just literally make that much money.
Right.
And I think you have that same heart.
Yeah.
Where does that consistency play into? Because like everyone knows to work out and to eat right.
Right.
But if you're not consistent, you're dead.
I mean, consistency runs in every area of your life, even if you want to be successful in anything, whether it be your career.
I didn't pay her to say that, by the way. I live by consistency. So
yeah.
You're like a walking commercial. Yeah. Look, I got first commercial on consistency. Paige Hathaway endorses consistency on the playbook. All right.
Yeah, consistency. I mean, that's with everything, right? Yeah. Diet, success in your business, whatever that is. And for some reason, we find it so difficult to do every single day. I think it's because we also get bored easy, and consistency can seem boring. Doing the same thing over and over and over repeatedly is boring,
right?
To people. So I think, I think that's what it is, really.
And so diet's really important, and there people have made billions and billions off of diets. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I went to this really expensive gym up here, and I started realizing I had 33 supplements.
What?
You know, and I'm like a healthy 50-year-old guy. And
right.
It's like, what am I taking all these supplements for? They could be counteracting each other. You know, so much money spent on supplements. Do
yeah.
you have advice for people about just in general what supplements or, you know, anything that has to do with like how do I take that quick, easy way to be healthy?
Yeah. I mean, supplements, a lot of people think that if you just take supplements, you're just going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right.
You know what I mean? But in reality, supplement your diet. So if there's something that you're lacking in your diet, whether it be protein, you're not hitting enough protein every day, then protein powder is a great supplement for you. It's supplementing that protein. So I don't think you need to like go crazy on the supplements, but I think if you're missing something out of your diet, it's important. My best recommendation is to just do all natural, because if you're taking something every single day, you want to make sure there's no artificial sweeteners, there's no fillers, there's no junk in it, because nowadays supplement companies just want to make money, I feel like, and they'll fill stuff in it to just, you know, make it cost efficient, cheaper
right.
to the consumer. So I think getting something all natural is key.
It's worth the money to pay extra for the all natural stuff.
Yes.
And what happens, because I found the same thing, like fish oil or something
yeah.
that I would take.
Right.
But there's a wide variety of pricing.
Yes.
And yet the effects of it are so valuable.
Yes.
And, you know, I love people that take supplements and they're looking at, well, that's kind of looks expensive. And
yeah.
I said, well, compared to what? Like if it's supplementing what you're not getting from a meal.
Right, right, yeah. Right,
how much are you spending? And then
right.
meanwhile, they'll, you know, pay $4.95
yeah.
for that.
Definitely.
Right? But they won't pay, you know.
Right.
It's like the, or worse, like I see people spend way more on their cars
yeah.
than on their body.
Yeah, right. Or people think that eating healthy is expensive. When in reality, like you could go buy a bag of chicken breast, broccoli, all this stuff, and it's actually not expensive. Eating out every day, buying coffee at Starbucks every day, that stuff adds up. But people are like, eating healthy is so expensive.
Right.
You I know?
Now, you are having a baby, and one of the things about, I have four children myself, is I want to have a better life for my kids.
Yeah.
Right? It's like one of the most important things. You know, first thing I do is brag to people about my kids. But
yeah.
most importantly, I just...
That's what you did to me.
Yeah. Sorry. I know. I'm so excited that you're pregnant. But the hardest part about having the capability of being a good parent with financial resources and all these other things is that I really have... The other side of the problem is, how do I teach my kids to have the consistent discipline, you know, the edge that you and I have?
Yeah, right.
Because they are, you know, more sensitive and they're more entitled in some respects.
Yeah.
How do you plan on empowering your baby without
right.
making
I,
them suffer and live in
yeah.
a trailer with food stamps?
You know, I did wonder that, because like you, I also grew up with no consistency in my life. So having consistency, I feel like now is so easy to me. I don't know what that difference is when you're a child like you. I didn't have parents that were like, you know, do this or do that. So I kind of did this and did that in my adult life. So I wonder that too, like, is embedding consistency at a younger age, is that a, like a good thing? Is that gonna like backlash like later on, you know? So I'm also trying to figure out like how I'm going to parent in that way.
Well, I'm going to do this for the end of the playbook. I'm going to give you my best piece of parenting advice.
Yes.
And then in exchange for, I'm a value for value guy. I want your best piece of advice for my brand on Instagram.
Ooh, okay.
What I should do. Okay.
All right, I like
so
that.
My piece of advice was given to me after I had my first kid and I was terrified of leaving. This nurse just grabbed me and she said, just love your baby. I get choked up telling people this, but when it all goes crazy around you, just remember there's really one secret. Because all the other stuff that we worry about, the little things, why do I do this? They're born with an energy and they're born with an unconscious competency. No matter what you do, they're going to be driven in the way they're driven. But if they're loved,
I like that.
They literally, it's like the fuel to the fire. It's what they can base. And I see it in my own kids. Like, I don't care if people say I spoil my kids. I tell my kids I spoil them, but I love them to death and I allow them to be empowered. And it is the best piece of advice.
I really like that. That's
there
good.
You go. Now you better give me one back.
I mean, I think you're doing a really good job. For people that want to be successful on Instagram or whatnot, I always say that people aren't going to know, like, right, like who, a lot of people don't know who you are.
Of course, yeah.
Right? So
there's 4 billion people out there. But if a million know me, I'm feeling stoked.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know who you are. So you have to really get your name out there, whether it be having people on your podcast, whether to, you know, network and expand your brand, whether it be if you don't have access to that, you know, you can reach out to your local magazines, papers, write columns for free. I mean, there are sky's the limit with getting your name out there, but it's really taking that extra step and reaching out to people and introducing yourself and showing up at events and just really kind of become a yes man.
Yeah. And I read that about you and you did that extreme, did stuff for free, volunteered, showed up to everything, wrote articles, etc. And I tell people it's one thing to find your frequency, which you found early on, but it's another one to go ahead and broadcast the frequency. If you don't have a strong signal, if you don't have a wide bandwidth for other people to see and the powerful, you know, strength of it. And to me, that's what you've done. You are a yes woman.
Yeah.
You really, like through that, you know, those years since 2013 have just said yes. And I like the other word too, right? How? Like, how can I do that for
you?
I
love that.
You know, kind of another parent advice. Yeah. I don't say no. My kid says, you know, I want to buy a Ferrari. I'm like, okay, how are we going to do it?
I'll
match you dollar for dollar or come up with something, but be a how person. Anyway, I wish I had more time as usual.
Oh, I know.
But you're incredible.
Thank you.
And you, I said, if I ever speak, I will pay you to be in the audience because I love someone that will laugh at anything I say. And you're it. You're amazing. Everyone should have a friend that laughs at everything you say. This is Paige Hathaway, supermodel and super entrepreneur with Dave Meltzer on Entrepreneurs The Playbook. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.